Today, with the Feast of Pentecost, we bring to a close the Easter season. So we've had 50 days to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. It's our high holy days. And so with Pentecost, we bring that to an end. So I'm going to do one thing. I may regret it, but one more time between now and next year. So I'm going to review the troops. Not looking good so far. Okay. Now, you know what I'm looking for, don't you? No. No. Who's overcome with paschal joy? There we go. Now, Red Schmed. Who's overcome with paschal joy? Remember, we hear that every Sunday during Easter. The church says we're supposed to be overcome with paschal joy. But again, you know, we got some practicing to do. We got a lot of work, because if people actually saw us being overcome with paschal joy, they'd say, I want some of that. Where do you get it? And then we could tell the story of how it all came about. So I'm going to do a review today of the last 2.5 months, beginning with the Lent, season of Lent, and then into Easter, because really Lent and Easter summarize our faith very nicely. So we go to the beginning of Lent, and what is the word of Jesus and John the Baptist? It's repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that's the first part. We've got to repent of our sins so that we can be focused on doing the work of the Lord. And all through Lent, we read about the Israelites in Egypt, how God saved them. And what did they do? They kept turning their back on God. He brought them into the promised land. They still weren't faithful, but God continued to send them leaders like Moses and the prophets, and yet they continued to sin. So they couldn't get past the sin of Adam and Eve. So we get to Easter. So God says, I'm not going to let you rot, although he could have. He could have said, look, I gave you a chance and you failed. But he didn't. So he himself became a human being to show us how to avoid sin, how to repent, how to do what we're called to do. And so he suffered a horrible death for us. And he rose from the dead. And through his death and resurrection, he defeated the power of sin and death and reopened the gates of heaven. So right there, what I've just said, that's really the basic story of Christianity. And that is the story we need to know so we can tell other people. So we have 40 days of Lent in preparation for the 50 days of Easter. And we're supposed to be practicing certain things during those seasons. So during Lent, it's asking God for forgiveness. Now, we need to do that all the time when we sin. However, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his defeat of the power of sin and death, we never have to sin. We never have to sin. So that's part of the good news. We can't say, well, I'm a human being, I'm weak. Yeah, so, but we have God in our lives. And so we have this feast today of Pentecost. I mean, what more could God do? He sent his Son, and now he sends the Spirit, and the Spirit showers us with gifts. And if we look at Peter who betrayed Jesus and then believed that he had risen from the dead. And so Peter is out there speaking to thousands of people, because he's got the conviction, the faith. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's, we have access to the same Spirit in baptism. So Nolan's going to be baptized. He'll receive the Holy Spirit today. And the Holy Spirit is constantly with us, guiding us, empowering us. And I've said it again and again. We have gifts from the Spirit. We have charisms from the Spirit that empower us to do what Jesus did. To multiply bread, if necessary, to raise people from the dead, to, if necessary, maybe levitate. You know, there's some saints who did that. I'd love to levitate, but, you know. And the point of it would be not to say, oh, isn't that neat? No, it's to say, what? How's that happening? And then we say, it's God. Really? Can I do that? Well, maybe, if that's your charism. But maybe your charism will be raising someone from the dead. So we have this Holy Spirit, and what the Spirit is still trying to do, and we're still messing it up, is to bring us together as the body of Christ, as the church, so that unlike what happened at the Tower of Babel, you know that story, you know, they wanted to get up to heaven by their own efforts, and God dispersed them, and everybody could not understand one another. Well, we have the opposite in today's reading of Pentecost. Even though there were thousands of people from different parts of the known world at that time, they all heard the apostles speak in their language. So God is taking this mess and trying to bring unity out of it. Now, the irony of it, I was just talking with a man from the funeral this morning who was Baptist, and we were talking about the scandal of Christian disunity. Because unlike any other major religion, there are approximately 25 to 35,000 denominations of Christianity. Is that unity? What kind of a sign are we showing to the world? So we pray for Christian unity. If you do the morning offering, one of the prayers is for the unity of all Christians. Because if we're together on that message and that belief, we're going to have more of an impact in the world. So that's one of the things we pray for. And what we're called to do is work for unity by sharing the gospel message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We are called to be disciples, called to be missionaries, called to be evangelists, to go wherever and tell people about that story, and if necessary, or if God wants us to do it, do saving works. And we heard that in the opening prayer. You know, it's about the saving works of God that bring people to think, oh, wow, something's going on here. I want to know about it. And so we have to do all those things in faith through the power of the Holy Spirit so people will want to know more, and then we can bring them together with us so we're all walking together, following Jesus. So we have, obviously, a great deal of work. Now, people are not, unfortunately, and you know, we have signs up now, right? We know this is St. Mary Ann Cope Church. We were out without signs for a while, and in fact, one of our parishioners was across the street in a beauty parlor talking to a woman, and the woman was saying, you know, I'm looking for a Catholic church. And Jean goes, well, just across the street. But you wouldn't have known it. There was no sign. And of course, we could use a really big electronic sign that says, welcome home. This is where it's happening. You want to heal people? Come on in. Now, that would bring some people in because we'd be so bold as to say that. But because they're not coming in, we've got to go out to where they are, out to when we're in Wegmans. How do we greet people? Do we smile at them? Do we say hello? Say, are you doing okay? When we go to vote, when we go to the stores, the public market, you may see a couple people, one of our parishioners, who have a table there with rosaries and other things, and they greet people at the public market. Then on Saturdays, there's probably close to 10,000 people that come in and out. But we got to go to those places because that is what Christians do. And that's why we're here today, because Christians throughout the centuries did not stay in their own little territory. They always sent missionaries out. That was part of the church. The church said, we've got to get this good news out to people because they're suffering. They don't know what to do with evil. They're living in darkness and despair. We've got the message that's going to bring them light and freedom. That's one of the key words, freedom. Freedom from fear. Jesus says, peace be with you. What don't we understand about that? We have the power to bring peace to the world. So the story that is our story, we need to know it. And again, we can four or five steps to tell that story, but we need to tell that story and then rely on the Holy Spirit, who is willing to give us gift after gift after gift, but we got to ask for it. We got to say, yeah, Lord, prepare me. And then we got to talk to one another. It says, do you know what your gift is? Do you know what your charism is? What do you think it might be? And someone says, well, you know, I did this and it seemed to happen. And oh, wonderful. And then we get excited about it. So cures could be going on here if we knew we had, let's say, the gift of healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. It doesn't matter. Whatever gifts we have are given to us for the purpose of bringing people to know Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. So every Sunday we come together to remember our story, which is really the story that God has written for the whole world, but the world doesn't know that story. So we have got to be willing and ready to tell other people about it. You do not need to be ordained. You do not need a degree. Doesn't matter. In fact, I think children sometimes can tell the story better than adults, because they're interested in that sort of thing. But we need to be like little children, willing to go out and proclaim the good message. Now, I didn't say this, but I'll say it now. Not a lot of you wore red. Okay, so I will get to that. You know, what's this with the lime green and the yellow? What are you, flowers or something? But we wear red because of the flames at Pentecost and the burning desire that God has for all people to come to him, and hopefully the burning desire we have for all people to come to the Lord. So again, as always, when we go outside these doors, we don't stop thinking of our faith or living it. In fact, that's where we do the practicing. That's the football field or the spiritual field, where we're called to live our faith each and every day. And every one of us has the same access to the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody is denied that power. So don't think, who am I? I'm not worthy, so forth. No, that's not God's thinking. That's human thinking, and that's part of the problem. So this great feast is supposed to get us excited, to remind us that Jesus has risen. He has ascended to the Father, but that doesn't mean he's not with us still, working with us and saying, come on, let's go, let's go. Let's do it as individuals, but let's do it as a community so people will know us as a Christian community, convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that we want all people to come together as one. That's your work, that's my work, and it just keeps on going. We keep working at it, we keep getting better at it. We keep supporting one another in it, so that someday there's no reason why we can't have the church filled again and again and again with people who have heard that message, because we taught them it, and they want to go deeper into that faith as well and become disciples of the Lord. And again, that's what Jesus said when he ascended to the Father. Go out into the whole world, make disciples of all nations, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our commission. So again, as we go out today, remember, that's the work we're thinking about right now, and the work we have to do when we go out into the world.